What an amazing song. It's so beautiful, isn't it? And may God bless us all as we listen to his word this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll look at the scripture that God's word will be coming to us from. So please join me for a short prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, your word says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaim salvation, and who says to Zion, your God reigns. Lord, you reign over the entire universe. And you have amazing power. And we pray this morning that as we listen to your word, that we will experience the beauty of the feet of those who bring good news, and how we need good news. We pray this in the name that's above every other name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our message this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. So if you have your Bible, turn there. Otherwise, you can also just listen as I read it out to us. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, you read this very short passage, and it's not hard to see what it is about. What is it about? It is about the gospel. The gospel of God, to be specific. And the one who proclaimed and preached this gospel is the most worthy and authoritative preacher that's ever walked on the face of the earth. Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. Listen to him. Now, Mark calls it the gospel of God. Some translations would say the gospel of the kingdom of God. But for simplicity, let's just stick to the gospel of God for now. Mostly when we read our Bibles, it just simply says gospel. But often you find a few groups of words together to describe the very same gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel of peace, the eternal gospel, and so on. But the two that are used more than any other two would be the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of God. Why all these different ways of saying exactly the same thing? These terms are teaching us something about the one and only true gospel, the genuine deal gospel. When it says the gospel of Jesus Christ, it wants to tell us that the gospel is about Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And as we started Mark chapter 1, we are introduced to him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is about a man who is the Son of God. But when it says, Mark says to us, it's the gospel of God, what does he mean? God is the source of the gospel. It is from him. Of course, it's also about him. But Mark wants us to realize that this gospel that we read of in the Bible is not something that people came up with. It's not something that people dreamed up that sounds like a good idea. It has divine origin. It's God's idea. It's God's initiative. The gospel comes from the one and only true and living God. The Almighty Creator, the sovereign ruler of the universe. And that is why it's called the gospel of God. By the way, what does the word gospel mean? Now, the word gospel, as we have it in the English, actually comes from a very old English word or an Anglo-Saxon word, which was Godspell. And that just meant good story. But that comes from the Greek word that literally means good news. Good news. That is what the word gospel means. Now, if we say the gospel of God, what we are saying is that God has good news for the world. He has good news for all fallen, sinful, lost, and helpless people on the planet. And that, by the way, includes everyone. Children, the gospel is for you. No matter how you are, how small you are, God has good news for you. Adults, the gospel is for you. And it does not matter what you have done in your life, how bad you are, how hopeless you are, God has good news for you. This is the best, the gladdest, and the greatest news ever told. It's God's good news to humanity. But what exactly is the good news? Mark chapter 1 tells us, the good news contains a public declaration and a demand for a response. Actually, it's a double declaration and a demand for a double response. And so let's look at this twofold declaration and this twofold response. So firstly, the gospel is basically, simply, a public pronouncement that goes out into all the world. What is the announcement? The time is fulfilled. The time is filled up. Centuries of preparation and prophecy have been completed. The expectation that God would fulfill His promises have built up to fever pitch. Finally, the wait and the anticipation is over. God's decisive action in salvation is set into motion. Once the forerunner, John the Baptist, was arrested and removed from the scene, another man came and he took center stage. The moment he started his public ministry in all the power of the Holy Spirit, preaching in this far out place, Galilee, a defining moment in history arrived. A new era has begun. Dear friends, do you realize that Jesus ushered in an unprecedented time, the most significant era in history? From about 2,000 years ago, God started to move in amazing power, saving people like in no other time before history. How? Through the proclamation of the good news. The message gets heralded that the time has come. It is a time for salvation. It's a time of opportunity. I remember when we came many years ago to Australia, we spoke to an agent and he said to us, "This is the land of opportunity. This is the time of opportunity." Friends, I want to say to you, you are now sitting in a time of opportunity. Secondly, the gospel announces the fact that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. It is within your reach. How so? The king has come, and with him the kingdom. The kingdom is here because the king is here. Where the king is, there is the kingdom. But who is the king? He is God's anointed king, Jesus Messiah, the Son of God. And you take the Gospel of Mark, and you will be introduced to this king and learn who he is and what he has done. By the way, he's not just the anointed king, but he is the anointed prophet, priest, and king. He is God's ultimate and empowered revealer and mediator and ruler. He came in the name of the Lord to bring salvation and to usher in the kingdom. And the moment he did that, as he came into Jerusalem, the people started to shout out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Do you know what Hosanna means? Hosanna is two things at the same time. It is a prayer. It is a cry from God's people to say, "Lord, come and save us." And at the same time, it is a shout of joy to say, "Lord, you are busy saving us." And therefore, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus did not come to get a crown of diamonds, but he took on his head a crown of thorns. He wasn't enthroned by fickle people, but crucified by them, not for his sin, but for theirs. And though he died and was buried, he physically rose on the third day, according to the scriptures. So what's the big deal, you might ask? That's a good question. Jesus, the Messiah King, came into a lost world to make it possible for sinful people like you and I to be saved and to have a place in the kingdom. Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection opened up the gates of God's kingdom. And we are all invited in. Every single one of us. And that is the good news. Through the gospel, God is effectively saying to us, he's saying to you, and he's saying to me, "I'm offering you a place in my kingdom. My blessed and eternal kingdom. The kingdom of salvation. Come, receive forgiveness for all of your sins and be restored in your relationship with me that is broken. Become my people who live under the rule of my Son, whom I appointed as king over all." This is the unmistakable and simple good news from God to the world. The time is ready. The kingdom of God is within your reach. Why? The Savior King has arrived to save sinners and give them life under his rule. Dear friends, do you realize the enormity of this? It is no small thing For God to come to sinners who live in the kingdom of darkness and who are destined for eternal damnation, and to offer them a place in his kingdom. The opportunity for undeserving creatures to become citizens of the kingdom of the Most High God is huge. It is an opportunity that you do not want to squander. You've never in your life had an opportunity like this. Dear young person, dear old person, if you are in the kingdom of darkness, God has good news for you this morning. Do not stay there. Get out of there. Flee for your life. And come into the kingdom of light and life. But how exactly do we enter God's kingdom and live under the reign of his appointed king, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God? This brings us to the call of the gospel. The gospel calls us to respond in a specific way. Actually, it commands us to do two things. Which things? Look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15 again. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We are commanded to repent and believe. Now, do you feel the force of this? You read your Bible, and you realize that God does everything. He convinces, he pleads, he rebukes, but ultimately, he commands. And these two commands are like two twins, Siamese twins that you cannot separate. Or they are like two coin sides of a coin. You cannot have the one side of the coin and not have the other. You have to have both of them. To truly repent is to truly believe. We also have to truly believe. And to truly believe, we also have to truly repent. And it's important to understand that these two commands come with the highest authority. Remember, it's part of the gospel of God. God's good message to us demands that we respond in faith and repentance. It is like a summons from the high court of heaven. Now, a summons is serious. If you receive a letter in the post and it summons you from the Australian government to appear in court, and you ignore that summons, there will be consequences. Now, what will be the consequences if a person ignores the summons, not from the Australian High Court, but the highest court in heaven? To do that is to spell disaster. We ignore God's command at our own peril. And there's an urgency about this command. The king is officially in power, and the gates of the kingdom are officially open. They will not be open forever. There's a window of opportunity, and everyone, everywhere, is ordered to pay homage to the king and to show him allegiance by repenting and believing, because there's a time that the king will come in all his power and glory, and then it will be too late. So let's look at these two things a little bit more closely. Repent and believe. What does it mean to repent? Biblically speaking, the word repent has a very rich meaning. And it includes at least four things. Firstly, to repent is to change your thinking and your attitude. about yourself, about your sin, and about the one who created you, God. Secondly, to repent is to feel remorse for our sins. It's to realize the evil nature of our offenses to a holy and majestic God. And how much we are deserving of His wrath and His punishment. There is a conviction of sin. There is a hatred for sin. Repentance does not make light of sin. It feels the weight of its wickedness. And it wants desperately, more than anything in the whole world, to have our sin removed from us. Thirdly, repentance is to turn from our sins. It's to stop it. It's to forsake it. It's to dump it and not to repeat it. There's a children's hymn that goes like this. Repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and to show that we in earnest grieve by doing so no more. Repentance is to leave the sins we loved before and to show that we in earnest grieve by doing so no more. Fourthly, to repent is to turn to Jesus and to follow Him wherever He might take you. Can you see how big repentance is? It involves our thinking, our attitudes, our feelings, our wills, our actions. In short, repentance is a change of heart. And it's a change in the whole course of our lives. When you go on the freeway, or you want to go on the freeway, and you take the wrong ramp, there's a sign. You know what the sign says? Wrong way, turn back. If you go down the off-ramp instead of up the on-ramp, you might have a fatal crash and it will be all your fault. Repentance says, you've been on the wrong way all your life. Turn. Have you repented? Are you a repentant person? Do you have a hard heart towards God or a tender heart? So firstly, the gospel demands that we repent. Secondly, it demands that we believe in the gospel. And this is the same as to say that we should believe in Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means to consider everything that is written about Him in Holy Scripture to be true. Entirely true. Actually, it's to take the whole Word of God as the written and infallible Word of God, period. In our confession, we say, we take the whole Bible from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 21, verse what? 20. Something like that. But right to the end, as the Word of God. Secondly, it means that we trust Jesus entirely and completely for our salvation and for the way we live our lives. Can you see that to believe in Jesus is not just simply a creed, a confession? It's that, but it's so much more. It is a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment. It is the strongest commitment you'll make in your life. It's a commitment of loyalty to Jesus to the death. Are you committed to Jesus to the death? That is what biblical faith is. And some of you will know what I'm talking about. As you battle against your sin, sometimes you feel that you're busy dying, but you hold on. Well, the gospel calls each and every one of us to to be repentant and believing people. Now, repentance and faith work beautifully and very powerfully together. Repentance sinks us as low as possible so that we can see the terrors of hell. But faith lifts us as high as possible that we can see the glories of heaven. Repentance strips us of our sins. Faith clothes us with the righteousness of Christ. Repentance makes us weep over our wickedness. Faith makes us leap for joy because of our salvation. Dear friend, is this your experience? Has the gospel done this to you? In summary, what is the gospel? It's the God's good news to you and to me and to everyone else. It proclaims two things and it demands two things. It proclaims that the time is ready and the kingdom of God is within reach. And it commands us to repent and to believe. As we close the message this morning, let's ask a few critical questions. Since God calls and commands us to repent and believe, can we expect to be saved and to become part of God's kingdom if we don't do it? Can we? The answer is no, we can't. Here's another question. Is it reasonable and is it possible to repent and believe? Absolutely. God never commands a person to do something that by His grace He will not enable them to do if they're willing. But why then do so many people not do it? It seems madness not to jump at the opportunity to get out of the kingdom of darkness and destruction and to get into the kingdom of life and light. To say yes to the offer of eternal life under the gracious and the righteous rule of Christ is a no-brainer. It really is. But some people are so blinded and so hard-hearted that they will simply refuse to do it. But you are not like that, because you are here this morning, listening to this good message. So you are open to Jesus. Perhaps you've moved closer to Jesus and you have, as it were, your one foot in the kingdom of God. But your other foot is still in the kingdom of the world. And you say to yourself, I will do it tomorrow. Tomorrow I will have both my feet in the kingdom of God. But for today, I will hang on to darkness a little longer. For a little while longer, I want to enjoy my sins. But tomorrow, I'll be done with it. Tomorrow, I will repent and believe with all my heart. Do you know what? As long as you decide not to be 100% in the kingdom of God, you are outside of the kingdom of God. You are still in the world. All your good intentions count for nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, sometimes we make decisions in life, don't we, that we regret. And we wish we could turn back the clock and choose wiser next time. But there will be nothing like the regret that one will experience when he or she has declined or deferred God's invitation to come into his kingdom. To be haunted and tormented for all eternity, having failed to respond rightly to the gospel, will frankly be unbearable. I can tell you now, if that's you, you're going to sit there and you will remember the sermon. And you will remember this invitation. And you will kick yourself. But it will be too late. An ancient poet said, "I will tomorrow. That I will. I will be sure to do it. Tomorrow comes, tomorrow goes, and still you are to do it. Thus then repentance is deferred from one day to another until the day of death is one and judgment is the other." Stop procrastinating. Stop messing around and playing games with God. There might not be a tomorrow for you. God says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. Children, you are not too young to be saved and to come into God's kingdom. Adults, you are not too sinful and too old to repent and believe. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you that you have such good news for us. Father, we thank you that you would give us something that we could never deserve and never earn. A place with you in heaven. Father, we pray that you will move and remove all unbelief and unrepentance from our hearts. And that you would make us see the Savior that has come to bring the kingdom near, and that we will run into his saving arms and never let go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.